A team of video storytellers from Michigan State University is wrapping up a two-month journey around the world. The crew is documenting the work of MSU researchers in countries such as China, Brazil, and Malawi as they tackle challenges ranging from malnutrition and disease to human organ trafficking. The project is called Spartans Will. 360, and Current State's Kevin Lavery caught up with team leader Jim Peck by phone in Dhaka, Bangladesh, just a few days ago to learn more.
I actually came up with this crazy idea that it might be fun to try to go around the world and see some of the amazing work that Spartans are doing out there. It has grown into something that I was not expecting. I was expecting to be gone for 2 months this time of the year on the road. But it was the sort of thing where once we started pulling at the strings of these stories, more stories kept coming out. And we have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the stories at MSU that are happening all around the world. And we just got our team mobilized, and amazingly, all the pieces fell into place. And now we are out here.
Your team has traveled to four continents. I've had a chance to look at the website and the videos and the blogs, and they are all extremely well done. I'm wondering how you have developed a strategy or a common thread for telling the stories of all the researchers you're meeting around the world.
Well, I think the common thread is that it's Spartans who are working to make the world a better place. I almost feel like I'm on some PR campaign when I say that, but it really is true that, we're meeting men and women who are, in far-flung locations, really going after the world's toughest problems.
Dengue fever comes from mosquitoes, and it can kill you. It may not seem like a big deal to you, but here in Guangzhou, China, this is the tropics. Dengue fever is a big deal.
There can be a lot of laughter here in Magomero, Malawi, in Africa.
Welcome to the rainforest. Well, actually, this used to be the rainforest. Now it's actually downtown Campinas, Brazil.
I'm sitting here in Bangladesh, and I literally just got back in to do this interview with you. From walking through areas that are very difficult to walk through. I mean, there are things that are hard to see. There are smells that assault your senses. People living in really difficult living conditions. And the story we're doing here is about organ trafficking. And we have met and talked with people that need money so badly they are selling their own organs on the black market and often end up not getting the money they were promised. They have no recourse. They suffer dire consequences of surgeries and procedures that are done in unbelievable conditions. I mean, things that you would never imagine in the United States or in other parts of the world. But these are the lives these people are living in. And so we have been on the trail of very important stories.
What are MSU researchers doing to try to confront that there where you are?
Well, the researcher with whom we're working, whose name is Monir Munirazaman, has been working here doing research for quite a while. He's actually working with the Bangladesh government trying to figure out a way to end this. Officially, it doesn't exist. If you talk to people officially here, there's no problem with this. It is a different system over here, and he has been working with locals to try to stop this, to try to get to the root of it. You'll see when we release the pieces, we've done interviews with people whose identities didn't want to be revealed that are living in very, again, difficult conditions. We've talked with traffickers. We've talked with people and their families who have given organs. We've talked with people who are suffering the consequences of this. Monir calls this one of the greatest examples of exploitation in history.
In every place that you have traveled so far, what have you witnessed about the dynamic between the researchers that you are highlighting and the local people they're trying to help? Are you noticing a sense of dependence on the work of the researchers? Is there a sense of cooperation among the two groups? What's the dynamic there?
Oh, I think it's cooperation, and I think it's also a long-term commitment to trying to solve these problems. This isn't somebody that's gotten a little bit of money to go look at a problem, or somebody that's bringing aid to these villages. We see a lot of those kinds of things. My experience is that when we show up in these small villages with these researchers, they are welcomed like family. Gretchen Burbeck, that we were working with in Zambia, a very small village working with epilepsy patients, which is a kind of social death sentence for folks in parts of Africa because people don't understand it. They think it's the result of bad luck or witchcraft or something.
Everybody knows someone with epilepsy in this community. It's too common for them not to. Conditions like epilepsy that are stigmatized just get left out because nobody advocates for a disease that everyone's embarrassed that they have, right? So it just gets put in the closet.
Gretchen Berbeck lives there for months at a time. You know, 6 months of the year, she'll live in Zambia. So these are not people that are sort of parachuting in, taking a look around, maybe dropping off some help, and then taking off again.
Are you getting a lot of feedback, particularly here in Michigan, via social media about this project?
You know, we've gotten terrific feedback, and I think that I see it growing. I mean, you know, we have a Facebook page that's been, you know, highly followed. I know word of mouth has spread this. I know that, I mean, everything from my daughter's fourth grade class to the people that I know from work and other places are following our progress. And I think one of the interesting things about this is that with social media, as you know, it is something that's ongoing and will continue to have a life as people continue to participate. And these stories never end for us. So that as we travel, there will be more on the official website for the President's Report, which is report.president.msu.edu. That's kind of long, so we can maybe say that again at some point. Or following us on Facebook. And if you Google it, you can find us as well. But the response has been terrific. I think that the coverage for something like this is wonderful. It's satisfying to us because we feel like we're doing a good job telling the stories. But the main thing is that people find out about these issues and they see that this university that's in their backyard or the place they went or the place they're going to is out there really honestly trying to make a difference.
Jim, when do you all return home? And once you are back in Michigan, what is the future life of this project? What happens from this point?
Well, we get back in Michigan, I think it's the 22nd or 23rd of February, so it'll be almost 2 months that we've been on the road. And then we've got a handful of Michigan stories still to tell. This is a story, like all the stories with Michigan State, that starts and ends in Michigan. And so we'll be closing the loop by going back to Michigan and telling another handful of stories there that are important to Michigan and the United States and the world, but they happen to be Michigan-based stories. And then for the life of this project, you know, I know we will be adding to this the official President's Report as it lives online and other iterations of that will be further brought to life and more will be put into that. And I think it's going to be interesting to see if it not only has the life that we brought to it by telling these stories. And again, you know, you mentioned our team that's on the road. We have a very large team that's back at Olds Hall on campus that's part of the media communications team and the news team and the whole team from communications and brand strategy that's been, they have been our cheerleaders and they have been the foundations on which we stand to tell these stories. If you look at the website, you can tell this is not something that my small team on the road could put together without a tremendous amount of help from folks back there. And they have held us up very well as we've been out here looking through sometimes bleary eyes and very tired minds trying to get through these stories. And my hope is that people who are out there and see this continue to contribute their own voices to the story. We've had people write in and say, you know, I see you're in Zambia. I did this work here. I see that you've been in China. I was there on a study abroad and had this great experience. And I think that I hope that that community continues to thrive. And I'm a little scared to say that, you know, maybe we'll do something like this again for a future President's Report because we're in the throes of this trip and it's been wonderful and exhausting. But I think if it's something that people like and it proves to be valuable to folks, that, you know, I think that we will hopefully be out doing some more of this stuff down the road.
Jim Peck is a familiar face on the program MSU Today, and he is the Director of University Photography and Videography at Michigan State University. Jim, I appreciate you taking some time today from Dhaka, Bangladesh. Thanks so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Labrie.